children, correct? I'm sure most of you, if you're not aware, Friday about 3:30-ish, somewhere in there, 3:30, Dwayne Couch lost his fight with cancer. If you don't know, that's Doug and Diane's son-in-law. And for those of you that have been around for more than 4.5 years, he used to be our worship pastor here. So even though you don't know the possibilities there, it's always tough when they pass. And you don't know what to say. Death is one of those weird things. It's like you feel awkward and silly and like, what am I supposed to say to people? And then you know when you go over and talk to people, you still say something stupid. Like I did yesterday. It's just like, what do you say? You know, it's like you have this like, I'm not going to say something dumb. And you always do. It's like, well, the courts are not okay. But you how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, right? But we all ask that, right? Because it just like comes out. But I love how God is so good. And like Dwayne quoted or read Isaiah 61 for us today. And you know, I love how God just like, you know what? That message I had planned for you, you're going to scrap that. And I just want you to talk about mourning this morning. And then a lot of scripture we're going to look at this morning is probably familiar to us. But again, the scriptures are words of life, are they not? I think so often we're afraid to like use scripture because like, oh, but that's where it's life. And if we use scripture, then we probably won't say something silly. Right? So let's just look at some passages of scripture this morning.
You did just fine, by the way.
Okay. I know. But we all know what I'm talking about, right? We go to those situations where there's death or something else, and it's just like, okay, no, I'm not going to say something. And yeah. But the heart there is, that's the whole thing. We're supposed to come together as awkward as it is and was weighed into it. And this is what the beauty of scripture. So turn in your Bibles. We're going to look at quite a few passages this morning. So just read along in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to start there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every manner under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I love all these things. There's a time for everything. But if we go up to back up to verse 4 there, I love recently, and you've heard me say this many other times, the sequence of things I think are God-inspired. I don't think they're just randomly throwing it together. And I love this verse in chapter 4. It says there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. It struck me interesting as I was reading that just this morning because I didn't know what Father wanted me. As I came in this morning, Father's like, I'm going to change your mind. And I knew he was going to because he was prepping me all that yesterday. But I think the sequence is in here. There's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, and a time to mourn. Why is laughter jammed in the middle between weeping and mourning? I think it's important. Because even as I was sitting around talking to Doug and Diane yesterday, there were some tears, there was some laughter, there was like in the course of an hour. Right? But I think so often everybody, there's that sense of mourning, and there's like, oh, we all need to be sad. And yes, there's an appropriate place for that. But having some joy in the midst of that, I think that's necessary. I think that's how God helps us get through the total devastation of loss. And I think we fight that like, oh, I got this really weird, silly story that's coming out, right? Maybe that's what's necessary in that moment. So I know it's how God sets it up, right? Is there time to weep? and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. I don't know about that part, right? But there's a time to get to that point when we're so in that moment. Like I was talking to my mom and dad I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. My days are starting to run together. But talking about that, you know, for me, you think about funeral services, it's like there are these somber things, and there's some moments where they should be, I think. But I saw my mom and dad, I was like, man, when I go, I don't want, I mean, obviously I can't control what happens with people left behind, right? It gets a sad thing. But I think Christian funerals should be the most biggest, grandest parties of it all, right? Because it should be these moments of celebration. I understand in the beginning where we are right now, it's hard to think about that, right? But it's like, man, there's a time to engage in this. And right now, we're in this time to weep and this time to mourn and come together with Doug and Diane and John and Susie. See, like I said, Dwayne and Dodie and the kids, they were part of us about 4.5 years ago. And they're still part of us remotely. But right now, as I was thinking about this, we're here for Doug and Diane and John and Susie. They're supporting their kids and their grandkids through this moment. I'm not saying that we won't, if they're here, we'll pour into that. But our job right here, family, our job is to support Doug and Diane and Susie and John as they support Dodie and Danny and Tyler and Gavin. As they're the wife and the daughter and sons. Some of you understand what that's like. To lose people that close to you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, this is in the middle of the Beatitudes. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's like, oh, that's encouraging. So I'm blessed because I'm mourning. So, but I think so often, again, the enemy wants to keep us isolated. And if we just sit in our isolated little places and we don't allow people into to come and mourn with us, and even if they don't know what to say, just their presence or whatever it is that we do for each other, there's some blessing, there's some comfort in that. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Because sometimes, and it's been a while, but when you're in the midst of that mourning, when people ask you, well, just let us know what we can do for you. Right? Sometimes just get, you know, that's where I was kind of wrestling with even yesterday. I was just like, God, I don't want to be an imposition, and God says, just go over there, right? So I just showed up, and it was good, right? But it's just one of those things, I wasn't invited, but I don't want to oppose, but it's like, right? Just get over the awkwardness and wade in. It is awkward, death is awkward, because that's not what we're designed for. We're designed to be immortal. That's our design, correct? And then death doesn't make sense to us, and we're like, but look, in the midst of this broken world that we're living in, we're going to die. But when we come together, man, there's blessing when we come together and allow each other to comfort each other in the midst of these things. In the midst of this devastation, in the midst of this total loss, we're either going to believe the words of life or we're going to let the enemy talk to us and say, man, don't go do that. That's silly. You're being in a position. All those things will be said to you. And we're missing out on coming together and fellowshipping together and being there for each other in the way that we need to be. Because see, the enemy doesn't, he knows that death is already defeated. He tries to continue to use that. He continues to wind us up about those moments in time when we sustain loss of loved ones here in this place. And we'll sustain more loss until he comes back. But we can rest assured that this time of mourning is for a season. That's why I love Ecclesiastes. It's a season for it. There's a time for it. There's a purpose for it. But in the midst of mourning, there is victory. And I know in the beginning, it's hard to think about those kinds of things in the rawness of sorrow. I get that. But when we keep continuing to overwhelm our minds with Scripture and the promises of God and then the reality of who He is in these moments, that to me just really speaks to my life, and I hope it speaks to Doug and Diane and Susie and John and Dodie and the kids in the days ahead and the quietness of their minds when people are gone and they're sitting alone. And we need, as a family, continue to lift them up in prayer. But here in Isaiah chapter 25, Isaiah chapter 25, starting in verse 6, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all the peoples, the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will cast away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. We're still waiting for some of that. But the fact that he swallowed up death forever, we already know that's happened. And I love the intimacy. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. When I read that, I see the intimacy of that. I don't see Father having someone else wipe your tears away. I see him reaching down, crossing your face, wiping the tears. I looked at that and I just happened to glance over into the next column in Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting. And again, it's easy to say these things when we're living on the outside, trying to help people in the midst of grief. But when we come to this place, or we're in this place of like, man, I'm going to believe this even though it's really hard. I'm in such pain right now. I'm in such sorrow right now. But I know it says right here that I am kept in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on who God is. When I go back and I read other scriptures, when I read other words of comfort, when I read his word and I let it speak into my life, when my mind is stayed on him, I am kept in perfect peace. And that kind of peace the world doesn't understand. The world wants us to, doesn't understand the ability to walk through something like what we're going to be walking through with Doug and Diane and Susie and John and the rest over the days and weeks to come. Because it doesn't stop in this moment. It's easy to get behind somebody, give them all the food and all the comfort for the first couple weeks. But what about month 6? Right? That's when everybody kind of forgets about it. Or year 2 or 3. The pain doesn't get less. I mean, there's moments where it gets a little better, probably a little easier. But it doesn't totally go away. How well are we following up and checking on each other with those who have sustained loss? Are we helping remind each other, like, man, I know. And that the ridiculousness of, well, it's been, you know, it's been 6 years. Get over it already. Has anybody heard that? I've heard that after like a couple of weeks, a couple of months. Well, that was 6 months ago. Get over it already. I think this language of the enemy, by the way. Anyway. One more passage of scripture, Revelation 21. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. There's some encouragement. Again, re-emphasizing, he's going to wipe away every tear. Death will be no more. There won't be any more mourning. There won't be any more crying. There won't be any more weepy pastor anymore. It's going to be awesome. Right? There's going to be no more pain. We can't imagine what that's like. The former things are past. Behold, he is making everything new. He makes everything new. And I love verse 3. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, that's what I was to walk away with this morning. Besides, you know, there's this time of mourning. But we have a Father God who's sitting on the throne right now with a loud voice saying, I'm making all things new right now. Death's already defeated. I got that covered. I know you'll sustain some of that in this broken world. But I'm saying it's already done. So he said it right here. It is done. It's already done. We're just waiting to catch up. This is the comfort that we have, that he is our God, and that we are his sons, and we are his daughters right now. And yes, we still mourn, and we still cry, and we still weep, and we still do all those things here. But we have this promise from our Father that there's a new day coming. that we can't even imagine. So for those of us that are left behind and having to walk through these pieces still, I would encourage that you just go through the Word. I wasn't even looking at any of these scriptures this week. But Father's like, this is what I want to say to my children this morning. So I know the focus is this morning as we go into our prayer time is for Doug and Diane and Susie and John. But there's so all of us need to be reminded of this, the truth of His Word. These words are what? They're trustworthy and true. And not just those six verses that we read out of Revelation. The whole thing. All this, the whole content of the Word of God is trustworthy and true. And I would encourage us to push into this more in the days ahead. And I know the kind of relationship that Doug and Diane, Susie and John have with Father. They could stand up here and preach what I just preached easily.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And most of you could as well. But the point of it is just this place of coming together and being reminded of the trustworthy and the trueness of God's Word. And just reminding us of, as Father reminds us of us as familiar scripture this morning. And not let the familiarity make it lose its power. So this morning as we go into prayer time, I want to do something just a little bit different. I know normally we gather around people and we're going to do that. But I want where you're located. If you're by Doug and Diane, I want you to gather around them. If you're by Susie, I want you to gather by them. If you're close to John, I want you to gather around them. And I want you to pray whatever Father brings in your mind to pray for them. So let's get up and let's gather around those people. And again, this, I know I like always like to come together as a big group, and we're all one. We're still one in this room, but Father's like, I want you to just have a prayer time for each one of those people. So just go to those people and just pray what Father would have you pray over them.
Thank you.
pray that your words of, from your word and the words that were prayed over our brothers and sisters this morning, Father, there was words of comfort prayed, because you are the God of all comforts. And we pray as we continue on today and this week and the months ahead that we don't forget the busyness of life and the distance of time, that we cease to pray, that we cease to check in, that we cease to minister to each other during the season. So, Father, as we support Doug and Diane and Susie, you know, Susan was here for a little while, Father, and John, Father, just as we support those who support the ones that are the most affected, and they're all affected in different ways. Father, we are the support here, so let us be the support. Let us really come together in love and comfort for each other. We thank you that you designed us to operate this way. Let us step in.